Hello there, and welcome to a new week of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. This is episode 481. I'm your recovering from a nasty, nasty, nasty case of the flu host, Steve Webb. More about that after the post-reading commentary. This is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible, and we have a new episode for you every Monday through Friday when your host is not sick. We're reading through the Bible on two tracks. Track one is the Old Testament, track two is the New Testament, and each day we alternate the tracks. Shows are usually between 10 and 15 minutes long. Today we'll read Isaiah 29 and 30 from the New Living Translation. Let's get started. Isaiah chapter 29. What sorrow awaits Ariel, the city of David? Year after year you celebrate your feasts, yet I will bring disaster upon you, and there will be much weeping and sorrow. For Jerusalem will become what her name Ariel means, an altar covered with blood. I will be your enemy, surrounding Jerusalem and attacking its walls. I will build siege towers and destroy it. Then, deep from the earth, you will speak. From low in the dust your words will come. Your voice will whisper from the ground like a ghost conjured up from the grave. But suddenly, your ruthless enemies will be crushed like the finest of dust. Your many attackers will be driven away like chaff before the wind. Suddenly, in an instant, I, the Lord of heaven's armies, will act for you with thunder and earthquake and great noise, with whirlwind and storm and consuming fire. All the nations fighting against Jerusalem will vanish like a dream. Those who are attacking her walls will vanish like a vision in the night. A hungry person dreams of eating, but wakes up still hungry. A thirsty person dreams of drinking, but is still faint from thirst when morning comes. So it will be with your enemies, with those who attack Mount Zion. Are you amazed and incredulous? Don't you believe it? Then go ahead and be blind. You are stupid, but not from wine. You stagger, but not from liquor. For the Lord has poured out on you a spirit of deep sleep. He has closed the eyes of your prophets and visionaries. All the future events in this vision are like a sealed book to them. When you give it to those who can read, they will say, "We can't read it because it is sealed." When you give it to those who cannot read, they will say, "We don't know how to read." And so the Lord says, "These people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. Because of this, I will once again astound these hypocrites with amazing wonders. The wisdom of the wise will pass away, and the intelligence of the intelligent will disappear. What sorrow awaits those who try to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their evil deeds in the dark. The Lord can't see us, they say. He doesn't know what's going on. How foolish can you be? He is the potter, and he is certainly greater than you, the clay. Should the created thing say of the one who made it, 'He didn't make me'? Does a jar ever say, 'The potter who made me is stupid'? Soon, and it will not be very long, the forests of Lebanon will become a fertile field, and the fertile field will yield bountiful crops. In that day the deaf will hear words read from a book, and the blind will see through the gloom and darkness. The humble will be filled with fresh joy from the Lord. The poor will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. The scoffer will be gone, the arrogant will disappear, and those who plot evil will be killed. Those who convict the innocent by their false testimony will disappear. A similar fate awaits those who use trickery to pervert justice and who tell lies to destroy the innocent. That is why the Lord, who redeemed Abraham, says to the people of Israel, 'My people will no longer be ashamed or turn pale with fear. For when they see their many children and all the blessings I have given them, they will recognize the holiness of the Holy One of Jacob. They will stand in awe of the God of Israel. Then the wayward will gain understanding, and complainers will accept instruction.'" Isaiah chapter 30. "What sorrow awaits my rebellious children, says the Lord. You make plans that are contrary to mine. You make alliances not directed by my spirit, thus piling up your sins. For without consulting me, you have gone down to Egypt for help. You have put your trust in Pharaoh's protection. You have tried to hide in his shade. But by trusting Pharaoh, you will be humiliated, and by depending on him, you will be disgraced. For though his power extends to Zoan, and his officials have arrived in Hanes, All those who trust in him will be ashamed. He will not help you. Instead, he will disgrace you. This message came to me concerning the animals in the Negev. The caravan moves slowly across the terrible desert to Egypt. Donkeys weighed down with riches, and camels loaded with treasure, all to pay for Egypt's protection. They travel through the wilderness, a place of lionesses and lions, a place where vipers and poisonous snakes live. All this, and Egypt will give you nothing in return. Egypt's promises are worthless. Therefore, I call her Rahab, the harmless dragon. Now go and write down these words. Write them in a book. They will stand until the end of time as a witness that these people are stubborn rebels who refuse to pay attention to the Lord's instructions. They tell the seers, "Stop seeing visions." They tell the prophets, "Don't tell us what is right. Tell us nice things. Tell us lies. Forget all this gloom. Get off your narrow path. Stop telling us about your Holy One of Israel." This is the reply of the Holy One of Israel. "Because you despise what I tell you, and trust instead in oppression and lies, calamity will come upon you suddenly, like a bulging wall that bursts and falls. In an instant it will collapse and come crashing down. You will be smashed like a piece of pottery, shattered so completely that there won't be a piece big enough to carry coals from a fireplace or a little water from the well." This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. "Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength, but you would have none of it. You said, 'No, we will get our help from Egypt. They will give us swift horses for riding into battle.' But the only swiftness you are going to see is the swiftness of your enemies chasing you. One of them will chase 1,000 of you. 5 of them will make all of you flee. You will be left like a lonely flagpole on a hill, or a tattered banner on a distant mountaintop. So the Lord must wait for you to come to him, so he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. O people of Zion, who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. He will be gracious if you ask for help. He will surely respond to the sound of your cries. Though the Lord gave you adversity for food and suffering for drink, he will still be with you to teach you. You will see your teacher with your own eyes. Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, 'This is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left.' Then you will destroy all your silver idols and your precious gold images. You will throw them out like filthy rags, saying to them, 'Good riddance.' Then the Lord will bless you with rain at planting time. There will be wonderful harvests and plenty of pasture land for your livestock. The oxen and donkeys that till the ground will eat good grain, its chaff blown away by the wind. In that day when your enemies are slaughtered and the towers fall, there will be streams of water flowing down every mountain and hill. The moon will be as bright as the sun, and the sun will be 7 times brighter, like the light of 7 days in one. So it will be when the Lord begins to heal his people and cure the wounds he gave them. Look, the Lord is coming from far away, burning with anger, surrounded by thick, rising smoke. His lips are filled with fury. His words consume like fire. His hot breath pours out like a flood up to the neck of his enemies. He will sift out the proud nations for destruction. He will bridle them and lead them away to ruin. But the people of God will sing a song of joy, like the songs at the holy festivals. You will be filled with joy, as when a flutist leads a group of pilgrims to Jerusalem, the mountain of the Lord, to the rock of Israel, and the Lord will make his majestic voice heard. He will display the strength of his mighty arm. It will descend with devouring flames, with cloudbursts, thunderstorms, and huge hailstones. At the Lord's command, the Assyrians will be shattered. He will strike them down with his royal scepter. And as the Lord strikes them with his rod of punishment, his people will celebrate with tambourines and harps. Lifting his mighty arm, he will fight the Assyrians. Topheth, the place of burning, has long been ready for the Assyrian king. The pyre is piled high with wood. The breath of the Lord, like fire from a volcano, will set it ablaze." May God richly bless the reading of His Word. Sometimes prophecy reads like today's news, doesn't it? Let me read chapter 30, verses 8 through 11 again. Now go and write down these words. Write them in a book. They will stand until the end of time as a witness that these people are stubborn rebels who refuse to pay attention to the Lord's instructions. They tell the seers, stop seeing visions. They tell the prophets, don't tell us what is right. Tell us nice things. Tell us lies. Forget all this gloom. Get off your narrow path. Stop telling us about your Holy One of Israel. Is this not what much of the world is saying to those of us who believe in God's Word? When we speak about God's teaching on, homosexuality? They come down on us like a ton of bricks. They spew hate and call us homophobes. They tell us that we're bigots. They call teaching God's Word on the subject hate speech, even when we deliver the message in even and compassionate tones. But wait a minute. If we truly believe God's Word, if we believe that homosexuality is a sin that God abhors, as it clearly says in several places in Scripture, and if we believe that unrepented sin separates a person from God, wouldn't it be a terribly hateful thing not to tell people about that? Isn't the loving thing to tell them so that they can repent and find peace with God? I think so. No, they want us to speak if we tell them just about God's love. If we only talk about the blessings of God, then they'll tolerate us. If we tell them that God loves everybody, they're happy. If we tell them that as long as they have good intentions that they'll get to heaven, they'll leave us alone. They don't want to hear the S word, sin. They deny that hell is a real place, and they sure don't want to hear that unless they know Jesus, that'll be their eternal destination. Don't, under any circumstance, tell them that Jesus is the only way. And now listen to verses 12 and 13. This is the reply of the Holy One of Israel. Because you despise what I tell you and trust instead in oppression and lies, calamity will come upon you suddenly, like a bulging wall that bursts and falls. In an instant, it will collapse and come crashing down. God is waiting. Because He does love them, God is waiting for them to see their need for Him. But He will not wait forever, and then destruction will come. It'll be a sad and terrible day, and it'll come quickly, catching them completely by surprise. Oh, how sad they'll be, and how sad for us if we let them silence us now. We will know that we might have made a difference in the lives of some of them if we had been faithful to our calling to warn them. You say, but Steve, I wasn't called to be a prophet. Oh, really? Didn't Jesus tell us to go into all the nations, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? What do you think that makes you? A prophet is not just one who foretells the future. A prophet is also one who tells the message God has given him. Our message is to tell a lost, sinful, and dying world that they must repent and believe that Jesus Christ came to the earth, lived a sinless, perfect life, and then gave Himself as the sacrifice for their sins, was raised on the third day, and now sits at the Father's right hand so that He can intervene for them to the holy and righteous and just Father. That is every believer's job. There is no higher calling. The most loving thing that any of us can do is to tell the world that they are headed for destruction if they stay on their present course. It's not hate speech. It's sounding the alarm to a world bent on self-destruction. Your thoughts? So I missed some shows last week, didn't I? I'm sorry about that. Here's what happened. Episode 479, Tuesday's show, was recorded on Monday, Memorial Day. I wasn't feeling great when I posted that show. My stomach was hurting, but I thought that I had just overindulged in the Memorial Day barbecue and the other goodies we had here. But I was wrong. The next day I felt even worse. My stomach felt like I had been shot, and I had a terrible raging fever. This lasted for a couple of days, but by Thursday, I thought that I was on the mend and I was able to record episode 480 so that at least you'd have a show on Friday. But guess what? My mind was still in a fog. Well, how do I know? Because even though I created the show, and made the show notes, uploaded the episode to my server, I neglected to publish it, so you didn't get the show. It wasn't until Saturday morning that I realized it when I came in here to the studio to create Sunday stuff for church. So you probably got episode 480 on Saturday if you checked your podcast app. Well, the good news is that as I sit here on Sunday night, I'm feeling almost 100%. I'm guessing that I'll be with you all week. Let's hope so, anyway. Tomorrow we'll be back in the book of Acts. Thank you for hanging in there and for joining me today. And please, I invite you to check out support.lifespringmedia.com to see how you might be able to help me continue the ministry here. Special thanks to my friendly editor and others who have so generously contributed to the Value for Value model of support. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you. So, until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.